This is a Public News Service Daily Newscast update for Friday, February the 9th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. House joined the Senate overnight in voting to end the brief government shutdown, also on our nationwide rundown. Today is decision day for the Bayou Bridge Pipeline. And can Silicon Valley help save our national parks? First, our top story at 12:01 this morning, the U.S. government shut down. That shutdown was brief and forced by Kentucky GOP Senator Rand Paul. Paul used Senate rules to delay passage of the stopgap budget for hours as he railed against the measure because it lifted caps on spending and would further explode the deficit. Once the Senate finally was able to vote, Reuters reports it took an all-night session debating and voting the bill ending the shutdown, finally won House passage only after Democrats provided enough votes to offset the opposition of 67 Republicans. Reuters called that a remarkable rebellion in the party's ranks. The final House vote, 240 to 186. With the signature of President Donald Trump, the measure extends government funding through March the 23rd, when we could be back at this again. The North Carolina State Senate pushing ahead with legislation that would give state patrol officers the right to enforce federal immigration laws.
Senate Bill 145 also threatens loss of funding to force the University of North Carolina system and local governments to provide a person's legal status to authorities. On Thursday, some Raleigh businesses hosted letter-writing stations for customers to share their views about the bill to lawmakers. An organizer against the bill, Trey Roberts, explains his concerns.
It's not getting enough attention. It's already passed twice in the North Carolina Senate, and it will practically make patrol officers into immigration officers. And then also violate students' FERPA rights, which is their privacy.
The letters will be hand-delivered to lawmakers by the ACLU of North Carolina. Roberts adds, if it passes, the bill allows anonymous tipsters to report undocumented immigrants and local governments that might not be following immigration law. The state attorney general would then be required to investigate every report, which opponents say could be costly. Supporters of the bill say it would make it easier for the federal government to enforce existing laws. This is Stephanie Carson reporting.
And today could determine whether the fight over the future of the Bayou Bridge pipeline remains alive. Earth Justice filed a suit in federal court in Baton Rouge to halt construction of the pipeline while other litigation is pending. A section of the pipeline will run under the Atchafalaya River Basin, which Scott Eustace with the Gulf Restoration Network says is a treasured area crucial for migratory birds and marine life. He's seen firsthand the machinery decimating centuries-old cypress trees as the right-of-way for the pipeline is cleared.
The chipping of these trees, which is ongoing, is irreparable harm. I flew over the basin last week and witnessed it from an airplane and felt it in my stomach. We'll never get these trees back once they're gone.
U.S. District Court Judge Shelley Dick determined Thursday that allowing construction to continue would cause irreparable harm because of the damage to those cypress trees. The judge scheduled a hearing for today to determine whether the permit for the pipeline should be rescinded. Pipeline supporters say Bayou Ridge is prepared to spend $20 million to perform offsetting environmental projects known as wetlands mitigation. The lawsuit contends the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers violated federal law by not conducting adequate environmental review before approving permits for the pipeline. And back in 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. launched the Poor People's Campaign. Now, Eric Tegetoff tells us a half century later, the campaign is still going, and this week its organizers held events at state capitals calling for a moral revival across the country.
On Saturday, groups including Chaplains on the Harbor will host an event in Renton to get Washingtonians ready for 40 days of action this spring. Aaron Scott, member of the coordinating committee for the Poor People's Campaign in the Evergreen State, thinks the movement is needed now more than ever, and organizers are letting state political leaders know.
We're putting you on notice for your failure to address these core issues of systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, and ecological devastation. Heads up, we're starting out polite, but we're going to get rowdier in the spring in terms of mass coordinated civil disobedience along these moral issues.
The 40 days of action will start on Mother's Day, May 13th.
And finally, Suzanne Potter tells us this weekend Silicon Valley is harnessing its brain power to help devise solutions to the $11.3 billion backlog in deferred maintenance facing America's national parks and monuments.
The Pew Charitable Trusts, along with the group Civic Makers, is hosting the Parks and Tech Challenge at Fort Mason in San Francisco. Marcia Argus, director of Pew's Restore America's Parks campaign, says the event brings together technology experts, designers, sustainability specialists, and park experts to think outside the box.
What we're looking for is thoughts that would provide cost savings to the Park Service, as well as ideas that might come up with ways to generate revenue.
She says the group will try to find energy savings, consider new materials that might have longer life cycles, or come up with ways to harness data so that park managers can catch repairs sooner before they become more expensive to fix.
Organizers of the event say they hope a Parks and Tech hackathon will produce long-lasting solutions that could draw down the maintenance backlog and keep it from escalating. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.